Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Kosafa Show with Mark Gleason and Nick Say.
Welcome to another episode of the Kosafa Show, where we touch on a range of issues from around Southern Africa. And we look forward to the start of the African Champions League and the Confederation Cup group stages this weekend, as we hear from the Mamelodi Sundowns co-coach, Mangobe Mqiti.
We also speak to former Bafana Bafana midfielder Teko Madise about why he got involved in a film project to tell the story of his playing career and the pressures that he faced. We also get the views of two Zambia Super League club bosses after a joint UEFA and FAS League development workshop to assist those teams in the country to de-link from the National Association.
But first, we speak to Kosafa referees manager Felix Tangawarima about the recent Africa Cup of Nations finals from an officiating point of view. And of course, we get his insight on the performance of South Africa's Victor Gomez, who handled the final.
So I just wanted to get from your perspective, just how you felt Victor Gomez did in the final. Obviously, he's received a lot of praise for his performance, but maybe just from more sort of a technical refereeing aspect, just how you felt it went for him.
Thank you very much. I think everybody in COSAFA is very proud of what our referees in general did in the during the Cup of Nations, and for us as a region to be honored to handle the final through Victor Gomez was a big, big honor for the zone, for COSAFA. And Victor didn't actually disappoint. He performed very well. I think everybody who saw the game saw how the game was officiated. And really, we are very, very happy with the performance of Victor. It shows that as COSAFA, what we are doing, I mean, we started long back with these referees, you know, with our development plan. And you can see the hard work and the development plan of COSAFA, it is now giving us the results. I mean, the three referees who were officiating, Gomez, Siwela, and the Soul from Lesotho, they are all products of our under 17. And you can see we take them in the under 17, under 20, and up to this COSAFA Senior Challenge. And then they then move into the, you know, continental and the world, you know, officiating. And really, we are so pleased about the officiating of these referees, and in particular Gomez, you know, officiating a cup final, you know, with everybody in the world watching. He did not disappoint us. He did very, very well. And I'm very, very proud as the COSAFA Referees Manager. I'm very, very proud of what Gomez did. I know I'm actually representing all the technical, you know, instructors within the zone. They are also very, very proud of what the referee did. He represented us as COSAFA very well. He represented South Africa. He represented himself as well. And this was a wonderful period for us.
Yeah, he certainly didn't seem overawed by the occasion. In fact, he seemed quite relaxed. Is that just in his personality, do you think? He's just he's able to stay calm?
You see, you will find out during the tournament. I mean, these referees were in camp well before, about 7-8 days before the tournament. And in every day, these referees are being taught, they are being, you know, prepared for these occasions. And then you see that before that, he also handled some other games as well. As we continued with the tournament, you will find that we also get to know what is required. And Gomez is a very intelligent, you know, a very intelligent referee. He listens to advice. He listens to his colleagues. He listens to instructions. And he really took everything which he was advised to do during this big stage. And he really did it. He's very mature. And he's a very good main manager. He manages very well the players. He knows, you know, he's got sense of responsibility. And really, this helped him a lot.
Yeah. And I think I stand corrected, but I believe that Kasafa had seven referees. I'm not talking about the assistants. Had seven referees at the Nations Cup finals, which I think was the most for any zone from CAF. So that must also make you very proud.
Yes, you will find out that we would have wanted to have more, because we actually have more referees who can actually officiate at that level. But you know, we are also restricted to the quota. They have to take a certain number from our zone. But yes, like always, COSAFA has provided more referees in every tournament of CAF. They've provided more referees in every course of CAF, be it referees or instructors. So that alone gives us a lot of pride, because you can see the roadmap we have actually done for our referees, and it's being fulfilled, and we are really grateful. We are also grateful for CAF for recognizing us, for recognizing our referees. So really, I'm very, very, very happy, you know, to be part of this, you know, region, to be part of this zone, which is actually doing everything possible to remain as number one in the continent.
And now, obviously, looking forward, you know, for Victor Gomez, I guess his next target is the FIFA World Cup in Qatar later this year. Do you see that as his next stage?
You see, but before we reach the World Cup, we have lots of, you know, continental games. You know, we have club games, and we also have, you know, some tournaments in between. So what we are focusing now is we are focusing on the games which are coming at the present moment. We have the World Cup qualifiers, which are very, very important. We have the Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers, which are very, very important. We also have the Champions League and the Confederation Cup. So what we are doing now, what we are preparing our referees to do now, is to look at what is coming ahead of them now, with their immediate requirements, which is the, you know, these games I have talked about. After that, we actually trying to make it possible that in the event he's selected to the World Cup, he is in the best condition one would want a referee to be.
Yeah, and just moving away from Victor Gomez, obviously you mentioned earlier there about his two assistants. You must be delighted to see them as well, because often a lot of focus is put on the referees, but not so much on the referees' assistants.
Yes, if you look at the game itself, really, some people may not even recognize who the assistant referees were. The reason why is because they are actually known if they make some error of judgment. And in this particular, you know, game, throughout the 120 minutes, they were on top of the situation. They were perfect in every decision they were doing. And again, looking at, for example, Saul from a small Lesotho, a referee we picked out from the bush, now he has handled the Africa Cup of Nations. Look at Suela, one of our, you know, very experienced assistant referee in Africa. I tell you, we are really very, very, very pleased with what the referees did. Yes, most of the focus is on the referee, but without the assistant referee, you would not have achieved what they achieved. So as a team, collectively, as a team, we are proud of these referees.
And just finally, we had the introduction of VAR for the entire tournament in 2022, now in Cameroon. Obviously, we had it, I think, from the quarterfinal stages onwards in Egypt in 2019. Do you feel that was a success, the implementation of VAR?
I think, you know, when we talk of VAR, it's an added advantage to the referee. You know, if we can have something which makes our referees make a correct decision, we are very happy. And we as COSAFA, as a region, we are actually advocating for this to come down to the zone. We are looking at countries like South Africa, Zambia, you know, to be the pioneers of having VAR in the league, because they can afford. Their games are, all of their games are on television, and there is nothing to stop them from actually using VAR. We as COSAFA, again, I was speaking with the General Secretary, Madam Su, that we need to bring it to our tournaments as well. We may not do all the games, but we can actually start at quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. And when we do that in our senior tournaments, the senior tournament for women and the senior tournament for men, we would have achieved something which we've actually put in our planning, you know, program. So really, VAR is here to stay, and what we can do is we have to be on board with what is required by FIFA.
Mamelodi Sundowns and AmaZulu will fly the South African flag in the group stages of the African Champions League this season, with the Brazilians set to open their campaign against the Sudanese club Al Hilal in Rustenburg on Friday. Sundowns coach Mangobe Mliti gives us his views ahead of the game.
Having been a teacher before, I think that too many questions from one person, but I will try to answer them. Playing in Rustenburg is as a result of our stadiums not making it. In terms of the evaluation that FIFA made of our stadiums, Lucas could not make it, Loftus also, and also Tax, in terms of the what they wanted now in the group stages of the competition, which is a little bit stiff compared to the previous seasons, which we all believe it was going to help the competition, because if our stadiums that we believe are so good could not make it, then one is waiting to see what will be happening out there in the stadiums that we are going to be playing in. But that is the main reason why that moved. Going into your next question of signing players for the Champions League, yes, it's true. I did say that, because we are looking at our competitors in the Champions League, and we are trying the best we can to get the team to that level and make sure that we are at a stage where we compete at almost the same level with them, with one mentality, which is to win the championship. Champions League, and all these seasons, even when we did not win it, our plan was always to fight to win it. That's why we are fighting to be in the Champions League every year. And signing is always influenced by us trying to make sure that we are better than what we were the previous year. And we are hoping we will get there. I would not regard not winning the Champions League as a failure, but it's something that I would not want to experience. I would love to see Sundowns winning the Champions League. The players would love to see that. The president, the chairman, the board, and everyone, the whole technical team is gunning for it. So we understand what is at stake, but we also know it's a very long road. We have to try to tread carefully. We've done a very, very intensive study on Al Hilal. I don't want to lie to you. We have watched a lot of their matches against Merrick, even going back to the match that you played against them in Sudan and here in South Africa, because their team has not changed that much. Like I said, we know we are playing against a team that is very robust, a team that is really very strong. Both the center backs are tall, the central midfielders are tall, their number 10 is tall. They've got a very tall team, and generally against Al Hilal, you know, the game is most likely to be on two fronts, either on set pieces and also on their counter-attacking game, with, I think, Rahman, number 33, being the most important player for them and the most important player even for the national team. And he is a player that troubled us even last year. But I must also say their number 22, their left-back, is also a very industrious left-back, very, very offensive, creates a lot of problems. That is why one anticipates, because based on what we know, we anticipate that at home they might sit back a little bit and maybe present a 4-5-1 or a 4-1-4-1 scenario to try and make sure that they are compact and they are hoping to catch us with breaks. But set pieces are always the order of the day against a team like Al Hilal. For this period, there are only few players that we registered. I think it was Surprise Ralani, it was Teboho Mokoena, Savreda. I don't remember anybody else, because the rest of the squad was registered early.
Super League clubs are in the process of delinking from the Zambia Football Association, forming their own top-flight competition. It is a move that's been on the cards for some time now, and this week UEFA hosted a workshop in conjunction with FAS to educate the clubs on a number of important issues. Here is Zanaco Acting General Manager Roy Mutombo speaking to FAS TV.
The workshop has been very good. The information that has been availed to club officials, in particular club CEOs and other football administrators, will go a long way in developing our game, especially in the area of governance, operations, and general club business. This brings us to the fore in how to handle in general club business. Well, the implementation definitely is gradual. It has to be integrated with other processes that our club started. So I can say that the integration of what we have learned today is basically a knowledge transfer, and we should be seen to put it to practice with what we have already. It's a very good business model, which some of us have understood. I personally have been to South Africa. I've seen the operations between SAFA and the South Africa Premier League. The delinking is a welcome program. It has got its own advantages. This implies that the Premier League will run as a business, and in terms of sponsorships and bringing in standardization, it will be across the participating clubs. So personally, I'm happy that as Zambian football, we are going that direction, delinking the operations of the club from the federation to clubs.
Ndeni FC President Stephen Lilongwe also gave his insight into the workshop and what it means for the teams to move away from the association.
This workshop was very useful because if you look at the umbrella of issues it covered, it started from the governance issues. Then after the governance issues, it discussed technical development, which predominantly focused on clubs understanding how they can map up their technical strategies to obviously grow up the youth team and actually create an impact for the team. And lastly, the workshop covered revenue generation, which was very interesting, and the aspect of marketing coming out. Most of the things discussed in the workshop were a recapitulation of the principles that we use in governance and development. The new aspects were actually in areas of revenue generation. Most of the time, we feel that we are doing our best without knowing that there are areas that are lacking when it comes to generating revenue for the club. So the concepts that came out on revenue generation and marketing were key for us to understand that it's not only normal to view marketing as a cost, but it's also good to know that marketing can actually generate revenue and benefit clubs. So the whole professional issues of how it must be handled, the nitty-gritties of branding, and also, merchandising, fans and club interactions, all those areas that are good areas that have got new concepts in them, some of which clubs use informally. But what we appreciate most is that they are coming up in a structured fashion so that we can use them and objectively and get results. So what we have gotten here is essentially there are solutions that we can use now and in the future. And one significant thing that we noted was on the player and the technical development. You notice that we neglect developing the youth when at a tender age. So those are strategies that teams can pick up now. Like you form your under 12 team, you form your under 15 and under 19, you register them and start grooming them, because we have learned the benefits that come from training compensations and solidarity payments. So those are areas that we can implement as soon as possible.
Finally, on this week's show, we speak to Teko Madise, who in his prime was one of the most talked about players in the South African League. But he has shed light on the struggles he faced as a player in a new half-hour documentary called Donna, which is available to be viewed free on YouTube.
From the feedback, I think people had a different view. They looked at me differently, and which was something that was expected because we want those stories to move you somehow, you know, spark something in you. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. And yeah, it will be launched. It will be open up for people to watch. I think it will be very exciting to hear what people have to say about it. Because the idea behind it was we as Mamelodi Sundowns, being a team that has been dominating for so many years, none of us actually took our has the own responsibility to tell our own type of stories. And I think there's always been a narrative about how Mamelodi Sundowns is run, how Mamelodi Sundowns are winning championship, but we never actually got to put ourselves in a position where let's explain ourselves a little. Not that we're explaining ourselves a little bit, but let's just show people that they are characters and personalities within the club. And I think that's the space that we're trying to move in. And I was excited to be part of it. And I was excited to share my story. And also looking at how the team is with so many young stars, with ladies football as well, that are going through tough times and challenging times, they can actually look at my story and be inspired that despite all the negativity, despite all the difficulties, you can actually make it. I think that was the biggest part behind it, not just to motivate Sundowns players, but just football in general in the country.
And do you enjoy that aspect, that storytelling aspect? Is it important to you to show people what you're all about as well?
Yeah, I think for me, the reason why it's so important, because I remember when I needed somebody to talk to, when I needed a former footballer to reach out and ask questions, there was no one. And sometimes as a footballer, you're thinking that what you're going through, you're the only person that ever went through those. And in reality, there's many footballers that went through that. And I think for us as a footballers, we never had a voice. We never had our own opinion. And I think it's those type of conversations that I want to have. Let's have conversations. That's why I want people to watch it and come back and tell me which part do they interest them, so that I can explain further if there's no understanding behind it. Because I believe that there's so many stories that we could tell. We know people's stories, but we never share South African football stories, and I'm excited to be part of this.
Yeah, and is this sort of a one-off, or is this a series of stuff? How's it?
It is a series. For now, there's four series. The first part was me, and the second part was Majambela, who is the oldest supporter of Mamelodi Sundowns, and the third one is Tokhi, who is playing in the women's football. Recently just won the Champions League and has a different personality of the pitch as well. That'll be an interesting story. And Dennis Onyango, of course, we know who he is. And we also went to Uganda as well to try and tap into that space as well. I think people will be very interested to watch that. So also we're building on to that. And after that, there will be also different people that also that raise our screens as well, telling their own story. So it's an ongoing thing. It's going to be a series. We'll see different people, but there's no format as to this. After Dennis Onyango should be Temba Zwane. There's no format really. We're just going to tell the storyline and we'll see where the story takes us.
Yeah. And just last one for me. When you were a player, perhaps an experienced player, did you feel yourself as a role model? Was it something that you thought about at the time, or did you just, was it just about training play?
I think it came as something that I didn't want to accept because of how I played. Being given a responsibility to carry the club, being given a responsibility in the country, but you're a superstar, so that comes with so many things on the side. So now we start hearing people saying you're a role model. That sort of gives you a different perspective as to what you're doing, how you carry yourself as a measure to that. So I think for me, ever since I've joined the Line of Pirates, my view or people, how people view me, changed altogether until I retired. And at some point, I had to take responsibility of the type of player that I was and what was given to me. So it wasn't something that I was looking for, but it was given to me. And I embraced it because of the player that I wanted to be. And I realized that it comes with so many responsibilities.
Yeah.
That's it then for another episode of the CASAFA Show. We'll be back in a fortnight with more views from around the Southern African region and, of course, beyond.
Don't forget, you can listen to more of our podcasts on Sokoloduma Radio, CASAFA.tv, Spotify, and iTunes. You can also get the latest news via our website at www.casafa.com and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.